previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Just gone there, 7:45 now. It is Algoa FM on a Friday morning. And we continue with a very topical discussion that's been happening for the past 2 weeks, making headlines all over. And Lee.
Yeah, the discussion around mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations in the workplace is fast becoming a highly controversial and emotive matter. Now, yesterday we spoke to Dr. Ron Whelan, the CCO for Discovery, as the first company to announce their mandatory vaccination policy for employees. And this morning, we're joined by MC Boerter, Managing Director of Jo'burg, Galpin and Sewell, and Vice President of the Nelson Mandela Bay Business Chamber, as well as Rowan Wilcock, Director at Jo'burg, Galpin and Sewell. Now, together, they were part of a webinar hosted by the Nelson Mandela Bay Business Chamber yesterday about the issue of mandatory vaccinations. And this morning, they're here to shed some light on the matter for us. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning to your listeners and thank you for having us.
MC, I'm going to start with you and I'm going to ask that you perhaps put your business chamber hat on for this one. What was the motivation behind the chamber hosting the webinar and who was the target audience?
As a business chamber, we're there to facilitate business and to promote business and growth in Port Elizabeth. The COVID pandemic has had an absolute devastating impact on business. And if you think about restaurants, if you think about the Shebeens, if you think about the tourism industry, they employ hundreds and thousands of people, a lot of whom are sitting without jobs, sitting without income. And we've noticed that there's an absolute integrity vacuum and absence of belief in what government is saying about COVID and vaccinations. We've had a situation where, in the midst of the pandemic, the Minister of Health is being accused of having plundered COVID funds. And so there's an absolute lack of belief in government and a lack of leadership because nobody's taking leadership. And as the business chamber, we believe that somebody should step into that vacuum and take leadership and provide guidance as to what we could do to lead South Africa out of this pandemic, to get us off the red lists, to get to herd immunity, to get sufficient vaccinations going. And that's where we were coming from. We believe that it's in the interest of everybody to provide information about vaccinations and to encourage vaccinations to take place.
And the target audience, MC?
The target audience is firstly business, to ask business to step in to provide the leadership which is so sadly lacking. And we are greatly encouraged by Discovery and Santam, who started to take that leadership, and to get the discussion going amongst the public, to get information to the public. Because ultimately, the target audience is the general public who must go out there and get vaccinated.
Yeah. Rowan, this one to you. What was the reaction like to the webinar?
We had a great reaction. A lot of the, obviously it was a webinar, so there weren't face-to-face reactions. A lot of the attendees said very informative session. So I found it very positive, and you can see people wanting to hear what direction must they follow, what are the steps, what are the risks. And of course, as MC says, a lot of HR managers were there, so positive in the sense that it was an information sharing. You'll remember that we had an epidemiologist also on the panel. He gave a great talk about trying to dispel the myths of the risk of having the vaccine. So it was positive.
So, I mean, undeniably, implementing mandatory vaccinations is not a straightforward black and white matter. You know, constitutional and medical considerations have come up as grounds on which people could refuse. That being said, on what basis may vaccinations be made mandatory by employers?
So in the labor environment, the employer-employee relationship, the balancing of interests and rights is not a unique concept. We have, for example, in our Bill of Rights, the right to strike of employees. That right to strike has been diminished by the fact that you've got to follow a certain procedure. Only certain employees can embark on strike action, and you can only strike about certain types of disputes. So here is the balancing of rights and interests. The rights, because this whole issue is driven by our Occupational Health and Safety Act, where that act says to employers, you must create a safe working environment for your employees. It's unique, I accept that. It's controversial, I accept that as well. But business and business entities don't operate in an island. We're part of bigger society. So the more we can encourage vaccination, remember, that's where we come in from, encouraging people to get vaccinated as employees. Those who have concerns, look to the medical profession to get some kind of guidance, which is the same as what an employer will do. We will have a look at the medical profession, guide us into implementing our plans, encouraging our employees to be vaccinated and so on.
You make a similar point to Ron Whelan, who we had spoken to yesterday from Discovery, around rights, you know, not being absolute and that they can be curtailed, particularly within the work environment. So, you know, just on the back of that, as a follow-up question, on what grounds then would employees be able to exercise their rights should they wish to refuse the vaccine?
So remember, you'll probably get different approaches from employees. You get the employee who simply says, I don't want to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a reason. I don't want to be vaccinated. And employers deal with that all the time, employees who are just being stubborn. You'll get the employee who will say, well, I have a medical condition and I'm afraid to get vaccinated. That's where the employer in its plan will say, okay, let me send you to whoever the medical practitioner is, epidemiologist, whoever it might be. Have a chat to him. Let him explain to you that your concern is not a real concern. So there's going to be this effort to persuade the employee to be vaccinated. Ultimately, if the employee says, well, despite all this information, I'm not going to be vaccinated, then the employer's plan should be, well, then I have the rest of my employees that I need to look after, and I need to create a safe working environment for them. I'm not going to force you to change your religion or whatever it is that you believe in that says that you shouldn't receive an injection, but you can no longer work in this environment of mine. You are incapacitated from working in this environment of mine.
Now, at the back of that, Rowan, will a formal retrenchment process come into play if someone has comorbidities and religious beliefs like you just mentioned? What's the process then?
It was one of the discussions we had yesterday. So we know that employers can dismiss for misconduct, incapacity, or operational requirements. And over time, our cases have defined these areas. Sometimes we stretch the definition a little bit. But in my view, and I think this is shared by an article by Halton Cheadle, one of our gurus in the labor law, is that the route will more than likely be the incapacity route as opposed to the retrenchment route. Both routes, of course, require some kind of counseling, consultation, discussion, call it what you want, before you ultimately get to the dismissal, the termination. Both routes recognize that dismissal is the last resort. And this plan is not designed just to dismiss employees. Mm. The plan is designed to encourage employees to buy into the plan. And it would be magnificent if unions could also buy into that plan to encourage their members to be vaccinated.
Will that be the same for contractors as well in the workplace? Because it's permanent staff and contractors overall?
So once an employer establishes a rule and says, this is the rule in my business, then everybody is expected to comply with that rule, including subcontractors, including providers, somebody who's going to come and repaint your building or is running your canteen facility. It's my workplace that I want to ensure is safe for everybody. So it would apply to everybody.
All right. I mean, in that case, then, what would the outcome and liability be for the company should the mandatory vaccination have adverse effects?
Okay. The employer, of course, unless you in the pharmaceutical industry are not medical practitioners, we'd have to be guided. And at the moment, there is a wealth of information that seems to support that vaccines are the way to go and dispel a lot of the myths. So the employer, my advice would be that the employer associates themselves with a medical professional, and this path that they will walk with the employee will include the medical professional. At the end, the employer will rely on the medical professional who says, this vaccine is safe to use. Employer, you still insist on not having the vaccine, I then am going to terminate your services. So the employee who then says, okay, all right, let me get vaccinated. And I think, Lee, that's where you're going. Mm-hmm. And that employee now becomes severely ill and, you know, even potentially passes away. And the family comes to the employer and says, well, you caused this. Now, of course, the employer will have a go at the employer or the employee's family. But remember, the employer has done everything to ensure a safe working environment and has relied extensively on medical advice. If that medical advice, and I'm sure medical profession is not going to be happy with this, but if that medical advice is for that employee, there are no risks, and then there are, then the employee's family would be able to potentially have a go at that medical professional. But it does seem from all that we have been advised that that is absolutely in the minimum. It's highly unlikely that there's going to be a situation like that.
All right. So, MC, let's bring you in here. You've been on a bit of a break, but Rowan has been talking on his own. MC, you mentioned, and rightly so, that there's, you know, there's an integrity and credibility vacuum. Tons of different opinions floating around. So it's encouraging that information sharing has been the basis of your engagements. And that being said, where would you recommend that one goes for a reliable, or to tap into, rather, a reliable source of information?
Credible, yeah.
Yes. Of course, that information vacuum is also part of the leadership vacuum, because nobody's stepping up, nobody in positions of power is stepping up, taking the leadership and saying, this is what it actually is. And everybody is running to whatever the alternative source of information is in the as a result of this vacuum. And what we're trying to encourage to say, go to your employer. Government should step up, and government should actually be taking the lead and providing the information continuously, issuing the legislation to force people to go down a certain track. Remember, as a population, it's a bit like herding cats. We all believe in different things. Somebody has to walk in front. So the sources of information, we believe, should be, as a first port of call, your employer, mm-hmm. your government, and your municipality. All the leaders in society, that the sources of information should emanate from there, bearing in mind that the public aren't researchers. The public want it at their disposal as readily as possible. And where do they get it? What's the easiest source of information? It's Facebook and social media.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, unless it's final words from you, thank you so much, MC.
Run. Thank you for having us.
And your pleasure.
Yes, thank you for having us. And I think it's just to encourage our Portalis or Quebeca, if I pronounce
there
it.
There you go.
Citizens yeah. to get vaccinated. And if they're concerned, as MC says, seek out good advice. If you have your concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. MC Wurter, Managing Director of Joubert, Galpin & Sill and Vice President of the Nelson Mandela Bay Chamber, Business Chamber, and Rowan Wilcock, Director at Joubert, Galpin & Sill. Thank you guys once again. Thank you so much.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.